I don't know why the deacons are nervous to sing. They see how well it can be done. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you gave to your apostle Bartholomew grace truly to believe and to preach your word. Grant that your church may love what he believed and preach what he taught through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. On the third new moon, after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and now how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 12. Responsively. Help me, Lord, for there is no godly one left. The faithful have vanished from among us. Oh, that the Lord would cut off all smooth tongues and close the lips that utter proud boasts. Because the needy are oppressed, and the poor cry out in misery, I will rise up, says the Lord, and give them the help they long for.
The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in the morning, and purified seven times in the fire.
O Lord, watch over us, and save us from this generation forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Who is this saint that we celebrate today? Bartholomew is named as one of the 12 apostles in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In John's Gospel, the Gospel that we read today, the name Bartholomew is not listed, but it seems that Nathanael is another name for Bartholomew. And in today's Gospel, we get that famous line, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Since we don't know much about Nathanael / Bartholomew, we might just ask the question, "Can anything good come of Bartholomew?" The tradition in the church is that Bartholomew preached the good news of Jesus Christ all through the ancient world. He was probably a martyr for the faith. But we really don't know much about this apostle. The other apostles are so much better known. Bartholomew was just an ordinary prophet, or an ordinary apostle. And this is a good feast day for us, because most of us are just ordinary Christians too. But there is a challenge offered in today's scripture that is anything but ordinary. Will you see Jesus with Nathanael's initial skepticism? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Or will you see Jesus with Nathanael's eyes of faith? You are indeed the Son of God, the King of Israel. Did you come here today hoping for some good news? Well, here it is. Look again at that first line in our gospel passage. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." This is good news. We have a God who doesn't wait for us to do the finding. God is active and seeking us. The word that John uses, decided, Jesus decided, carries so much more power than we ordinarily put in that word decide. The word that John uses means to wish for, to want, to desire, to be compelled. Jesus decided. Our God loves to look for his people. God is eager to find us and to call us to follow him. God doesn't wait for us to do the finding. God initiates the call and seeks us. He finds us where we are and calls us in the midst of our ordinary, everyday lives. I know a young man who was found by God at exactly the right time. Tom had a rather rough life growing up in one of the larger cities in the Northwest. He got into trouble with the law at a very young age, and things kept going from bad to worse for him as he grew older. He spent some time in jail, actually spent some time in prison. He couldn't stay away from drugs or alcohol for very long, and he would end up back in the arms of the law every time. I don't know the details, but Tom met a woman who was able to look at him with possibility and saw more in Tom than his past. They decided to build a new life together in a new place. They moved to the southeast, found sobriety, found a church, and got married. With the birth of their child, things seemed to have really turned around for Tom. They didn't have much, but they had a deep and growing faith and were committed to each other and committed to an active involvement in their church. And then one day, the sheriff came and arrested Tom. About a year earlier, Tom had failed to comply with the rules of his parole. After the sentencing hearing, where a good number of people from the church spoke on his behalf, Tom was put under house arrest, and things seemed to be going all right for him. He wasn't able to participate in the choir any longer because his house arrest didn't allow him to leave his home after 6 o'clock at night, but he was still able to go to work, to keep the family together with the financial help that his job was giving him, and things were going okay. And then the events of 9/11 happened. With that, the penal system tightened up all of their loose ends, and because Tom had been in violation of a federal offense, his house arrest sentence got changed to prison time. Tom was devastated, heartbroken. Why, he wondered, was God allowing this to happen to him now? Things were going so good for him. Why did God do this to him? As we talked about it, Tom came to see that this time prison would be different. This time he was going to prison, but he had the love and the support of a wife and a baby daughter. This time, in his going to prison, he had the support, the encouragement, and the care of a church community. That church had adopted Tom and his family and pulled them into the family of faith and would not abandon them now. If Tom had been sent back to prison before God had found him, I'm not sure what would have happened. But now he was there with an attitude of opportunity and an attitude that this was going to be different. He gets choked up when he talks about how blessed he is with the knowledge that his wife and daughter would be surrounded by love and care of the church family while he was in prison. He took his Bible and his strong faith, believing that he was following Jesus where Jesus wanted him to be at that time. Tom knew that he couldn't have done prison without Jesus. He'd tried that before. But now that Jesus had found him, he was going to be all right. Tom witnessed to his faith while he was in prison. He was like Philip in our story today, in our gospel. He was inviting others to come and see. He would say, look at my life. Look at how different my life is. He was encouraging the others who were in prison to see what a difference Jesus could make in life. He was inviting others to come and see. I met someone last week wearing a Padres t-shirt, and I asked him, you know, are you a big Padres fan? And he said, oh, no. I just wear the t-shirt. It can't be like that with us. We are baptized and we have received the cross of Jesus Christ on our foreheads, and we claim the name Christian to be our own. We have to pay attention to that call to follow. Paul says it clearly in his letter to the Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Then strive for the greater gifts. We can't just wear the t-shirt. We have to play on the team. Philip put it more simply to Nathaniel. Come and see. There was no extensive preaching, no long process of explanation, only the simple invitation, come and see. How do we say come and see to the seekers and the doubters in our world? Can we invite others to simply walk with us, spend time with us, meet Jesus by just hanging out with us, invite someone to come to church with us? Here's a statistic for you. The average person needs to be invited to church 3 times before they actually come. The average Lutheran invites someone to come to church with them an average of once in 10 years. Now, if we put those two statistics together, it'd take 30 years to get one person to come to church. I'm glad that St. Peter's is above average, but we can still do much better. We can make a conscious effort to invite those who are unchurched in our families and in our neighborhoods to come and see. God will do the finding. All we need to do is do the inviting. We don't have to convert people. We just have to invite them. Come and see. Last week I saw a great evangelist at work. The preschool is getting ready to start a new school season. And often parents bring their little ones to come for a day or an hour of visit before they actually enroll them. Last week, one day, a father was coming across the parking lot with his little child in tow. She seemed rather timid. She was hiding behind him, walking there rather slowly, her head down, kind of peeking around him as they came across the parking lot to the front gate. While they were in the parking lot still, a little 3-year-old from the preschool looked out the playground fence and hollered out, "Come and play with me." She followed the father. She was on the inside. She followed the father and his little daughter around to the gate, stood inside the gate, waited till Janelle came and welcomed the father, and the little girl took a hold of the visitor's hand and said, "Come and play with me." I award 3-year-old Danielle the Evangelist of the Month award. Philip said, "Come and see," to Nathaniel, took him by the hand, and took him to Jesus. Jesus told Nathaniel that he had seen him under the fig tree. Now, whenever you read John's Gospel, you have to read on more than one level. John never tells a story straight out. He always has layers of meaning. 2, maybe 3 different meanings can be given on one story. Nathaniel, under the fig tree. The fig tree provides the sweetest of fruit for the desert people. It is a blessing to eat a fig. It is a curse to have one's fig tree cut down. One way to read this line would be, "I knew you when you were sweet. I knew you before you were cynical. I knew you when your faith was still seeking." Or maybe the fig tree represents that place of contemplation, that place of solitude and silence. You probably have a place like that, under the tree, in that chair by the front window, in your room, a place where you go to think or to pray. Maybe we could read this line, "I saw you under the fig tree. I know you are a deep thinker, a seeker, and now you have been found." While we don't know exactly what the gospel writer had it meant, we do know that Jesus looked at Nathanael and saw faith. Jesus didn't see people the way they were. Jesus saw people for who they could be. Jesus sees potential. He saw broken bodies, blind eyes, useless limbs, and he made the people whole. He saw people bound by sin in their lives, and he set them free. He saw more than a cynical unbeliever in Nathaniel. He saw faith, and he saw one who would witness to that faith. How do we look at people? Do we look at only what they have done or at who they could become? The young woman who looked at Tom saw more than addiction and a prison record, and she gave him a new purpose in life and opened his eyes to love and to faith. She said, "Come and see," and it changed both of their lives. Get ready. God is determined to do something great in our lives. God loves to look for his people. God is eager to find us and to call us to follow him. Our God initiates the call and seeks us. He finds us where we are and calls us in the midst of our daily, ordinary lives and promises that we too will see great things, like lives changed, faith increased, wonder and awe in God's name. So the challenge is put to us. The invitation is constantly extended to us. Come and see. Do you see with eyes like Nathaniel of skepticism, what good could ever come out of Nazareth? Or do you see with eyes of faith? You are indeed the Son of God, the King of Israel. Or do you waver somewhere in between? It doesn't matter. The good news is that God's promise of salvation has been given, and God never wavers in the determination to find us and to invite us to come and see. Amen.